Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, coming to you a day or two later than normal. But listen, there was a football game we all had to watch. It's part of the deal. Sorry we're a little bit late, but we got to get an extra game in to talk about this week. A beautiful little game in Manhattan, Kansas, at the Octagon of Doom. Andrew, how you doing?
Always feeling good after getting a win in the Octagon of Doom. K-State fans were deliciously annoying in that game. So it's good to come out with a victory. Since we last talked, we've had two wins and a loss. Two big wins and one kind of heartbreaking loss. One that I don't wish to discuss, but I think we'll talk about just a tiny bit, right? Just a tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit, like this much, just like a little bitty bit. Andrew, if I'd have told you, someone asked me this today on Twitter, I apologize, I don't know who it was, if we'd win in Rupp, Hilton, and the Octagon, would you have taken a loss at home?
That's tough. I think you say yes, because beating Kentucky gets you, you know, extra value, extra points for tournament seeding, and then you get a win at Hilton at the Octagon, which we should, let's not call it that. Let's call it Bramlage Coliseum because that's its name, and move from there. So, but if you get a win in those places, then maybe you sacrifice it, but you are sacrificing a 51 game winning streak, which is quite impressive.
Yeah,
so
that's a bummer.
It's a toss up.
I kind of agree. Now, if it was, let's say the loss was to Oklahoma, would you have taken it?
Oklahoma this year?
Yeah, just some team that won't matter in terms of, like, if it was Baylor that beat you at home, I think you have a different answer, because that'd be bad for Big 12, right? But if it was someone else, like, let's say Oklahoma State, who's not going to win the Big 12, but they're, you know, coming on strong or whatever, you'd have probably taken that, right?
Yeah, probably.
But would you have taken Iowa State, given the fact, Andrew, you were sitting next to an Iowa State fan in the form of your fiance?
I know. So rough.
Was it rough? I bet it was rough.
Oh, so brutal.
I bet it was rough.
Oh.
Anyway, all right. We won't relive that. I'm sorry to bring it up. Let's talk about quickly one other thing here in the intro. Did you see Curtis Townsend's quotes after, like, that people were tweeting about Townsy? Talking.
Yeah. Please Sandstorm one more time.
How great was
one
that?
One more time.
How
play
great
it.
Was that?
Do it.
I'm playing Sandstorm right now. You can't hear it, but I was just, you know, I was doing that.
Do it. Okay. Please Sandstorm one more time. Keep playing it.
I love that he did that. That's so funny. I mean, everyone, that was crazy about the game. You could tell, like, all of our players, especially Frank, who, like, never does that stuff, was really interacting with the crowd. And after the game, self stated in the post game something like, yeah, I told them to feed off the crowd and let them build your energy. And I thought that was kind of cool. And that was clearly what they did. They had a lot of energy. They kind of struggled at the beginning, but it wasn't for lack of energy. It was just they weren't playing very well. But anyway, that was a fun game. We'll get to that. Andrew, no movement in the polls this week. Stayed at number three after that 2-1, as we discussed, and certainly that win against a top three team or top two team. Were they number two? Baylor? I think they were number two. Top two, and then a loss at home to Iowa State. No movement, so we'll take that. Little rundown for the podcast today. We're going to do a few recaps. We're going to talk a lot of Big 12 previews. We're going to do some listener questions, Andrew, and some more stuff. But first, let's talk about that Baylor win. Andrew, Josh Jackson, player of the game, 23 points, 10 boards. Mason had his regular old 19-6. But it was my one takeaway from this game, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that Baylor actually played really good, and, like, they're actually really good. That was my takeaway.
Right. They're good. That doesn't mean they're not Baylor, and that doesn't mean they don't do Baylor things, but they are pretty good. You know, one thing we saw definitely in the first half is that Jonathan Motley is a player.
He's stud.
He is a player. Had 14 points in the first half. I think we limited him only to 2 in the second half.
16, yeah. I think that's right.
Well, because we doubled him every time he touched the ball. Smart. Or fouled him. And I think that's how you play him. So you keep Jonathan Motley to only 2.5 points. This is a guy who, you know, if it's not Frank Mason, who's Big 12 Player of the Year, it's Jonathan Motley and a guy who may be first team All-American.
He's really good.
If things play out. So our defense definitely stepped up. And I don't want to talk about that last possession. We had some insane defensive possessions to end that. We were very aggressive. We trapped and the crowd noise kind of, in addition to that pressure, really threw Baylor off and they threw the ball out of bounds. We should just do that every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Why don't we just do that every time?
It's not, you know, it doesn't make much sense why you wouldn't. I mean, just ramp it up to 11, keep it at 11 every time, make sure the crowd noise is at 11, and then you're going to win games, right?
I think so. Okay. But I don't think that we're going to be dismissing Baylor anytime soon. They're a team to be taken serious. And then going down to Waco, I think maybe having this game be close maybe refocuses us to, you know, this is going to be a serious game in Waco. We have a shot at it, and we can go down there and win, but, you know, it's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. Okay, let's move on to that Iowa State game very quickly. I mean, this is going to be real quick for you, Andrew. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. But listen, they made 18 three-pointers. Freaking Burton goes 7 of 9 from 3. Naz was 6 of 11. Like, you're going to lose almost every time that happens. They made 18 freaking threes. But here's the crazy part. We still should have won. Like, we still should have. We had a shot to win the game. In that, like, the fact that they made 18 threes on us and we still should have won makes me think that, you know, I'm not going to read too much into this. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Just look at the statistics. At one point, we were out rebounding Iowa State 18-1. Landon had 10 rebounds. Iowa State had 2 at one point. You know, there was, you know, a lot of things going on in our favor. We were up, but, you know, you look at those statistics, you're like, how did we lose? But the 3-point statistic, the 3-point line makes all other statistics irrelevant.
Yeah.
Makes them irrelevant. If you make 18 threes, if you make a school record in threes, you're not likely to win that game.
Well, the last time they got the school record in threes, I was in the house, and that was the Hilton Coliseum, the Elijah Johnson game. And we found a way to win that one. I was kind of hoping we were going to do the same this time around. Unfortunately, did not. It'd probably be remiss if we didn't mention Frank Mason going for 32, 4 for 5 from 3. And Andrew, I will ask this question. I ask it every single game. Why did he not shoot more than 5 3-pointers? If you're going to make 4 out of 5, you're making 80%, shoot 10. Why is he not shooting more? And it drives me nuts. He had a bad game shooting this last game. He still shot 40% from 3. He was 2 for 5. I'm ready for him to shoot 9 threes a game.
That's fair. But he gets open. He picks and chooses his shots, and maybe that's why he has such a high percentage. But
He passes some up. He passes it.
There's some, but that's because we have other shooters on the team. I mean, he's getting Sfi open. He is the point guard. He's looking to get people open. I do agree with you. Maybe a little more aggressive, you know, taking those shots. You know, one thing I do want to talk about is we are ranked, I think, 269th in 3-point defense. That means that we're near the bottom 100 teams in terms of how we play defense against the three. There's a lot to that. Obviously, 3-point defense is a lot different than 2-point defense. But is it because of a deficiency that we're ranked 269, or is it luck? You know, those shots are going in. You know, they're getting those shots, but, you know, what can we do against that?
Well,
we saw this against Indiana as well. I mean, yeah, same type of deal.
I think part of it's both. I mean, I guess the answer is both. But if you... We do a lot of trapping and going, well, not trapping, but going off your man to, you know, to defend a drive and stuff like that. And you're susceptible to the kick. And it feels like a lot of times they're making threes when someone's not there in time to close out on a shooter because they've helped off their man. Like we do that a lot. So that's the one thing, I guess, that, I mean, that's part of our defense, is part of our, the way that we play. And unfortunately that's just going to be a thing. It'd be interesting if, you know, we played pretty good, defending the three when we played this zone the last few times we've done it. I don't know that that makes a lot of sense, because it obviously makes you more susceptible, but who knows? I don't know that there's a really good answer other than, you know, like, for instance, we were up six and Svee goes out and doesn't quite get a hand in the face. Like, the only way they get a chance to win that game is if he makes a three and Svee's a little late to get there. That's just that kind of thing. Maybe a little bit more effort but yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't read a ton into it. I know people freak out about it. Like, God, we got to defend the arc better. But I don't know. What about you?
I kind of go back and forth. If you know, our 2-point defense is so good, you know, against K-State, it took them forever to make a two. They made a bunch of threes against us. They didn't make barely any twos in the first half. I guess it's a lot of give and take. Maybe it's something to think about, but I wouldn't think it's any big systematic change that we need to make, you know, to defend that better. I mean, they made 18 threes. They all went in. A lot of them were defended.
You're right. No, they made some crazy shots. The good news is, though, Andrew, it was an ugly loss, but then some dominoes started to fall in the Big 12. We got a little ball don't lie from the Big 12 gods, and next thing you know, K-State knocks off Baylor at Baylor, and Oklahoma State knocks off West Virginia at West Virginia, and we're back where we started. So it worked out, right?
I mean, I wish it would have been different. We could have really put some distance between us and everyone else, but we kind of where we started, we ended up ranked the same as we were ranked before.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's all a wash, and it's a close game. It's an overtime game. I wouldn't read too much into it. Just hate to have that streak end, but
it's almost like the game didn't even happen. It's almost like it didn't even happen, Andrew. That's the nice part.
It did happen in my household. My household, it happened.
I bet it did. All right. Well, last game. Let's talk about this K-State game. I should probably start by just getting this in there. The old sandstorm didn't make an appearance till the end. And the students, of course, they only go to this game to do the chant, right? Like, that's the only
reason they go. It's not a basketball game. It's not a basketball game. It's an EDM concert.
Right.
Yeah, it's an EDM concert. They go for one song.
I got to stop playing. No, you're exactly right. And so what they did was they just started doing it during other songs. They did it during the Wabash Cannonball. And apparently all the gray hairs did not like that. they were starting to add it to different songs. But that was really their protest in saying, play Sandstorm so we can do it the right way. But
that was the biggest chant of the night, was play Sandstorm.
Play Sandstorm, which is great. But you know what? It's their thing. It didn't work for them this time, which is even better. But it was a quick turnaround from Saturday. Pretty ugly out of the gate, but we did find a way. Frank and Josh, both, you know, they were solid. They weren't spectacular, but they kind of had their games. You know, we still shot 47% from three, but the problem, again, was we only shot 17 threes. And pull out your little stats there. Where do we rank? You don't have to look if you don't want to, but I bet you can guess. Where do we rank in terms of three-point shot percentage in whatever overall? I don't know what the stat is, but the amount of threes we take relative to other shots. What it's like, I know it's not very high.
Well, actually, we're 135th in our three-point distribution. So,
okay,
I think we're 31.5% of our points come from three-pointers. So that, and which makes us 135th in the country. So we're kind of middle.
Now, I guess next question then: what do we rank in terms of three-point percentage shooting? Like, how many do we make?
We're fifth. We're shooting 42% from three, which is kind of outrageous.
That's outrageous. We need to shoot more. I'm so tired of this discussion. But
okay, so the moral of the story is we need to shoot more threes and keep the other team from shooting threes.
I like that. That's a good
idea.
Kind of
like dunks. It's going back to this: more dunks, don't let them dunk. More threes, Don't let them shoot threes.
I love it. I mean, that's it, right? That it equals
win. I mean,
win.
It seems simple.
Equals win.
But it's not that hard, guys.
It's not that, not hard. That hard. Shoot threes. You're really good at it. Anyway.
All yeah, right. Well, let's go on to this real K-State game. We were down early and ugly right out of the gate, but we found a way to get back, you know, the second half of the first half, so last 10 minutes of the first half. Frank and Josh were both really good. I just wish Josh would stop making silly fouls. If he stays in the game, he's going to be great. Just got to stay in the game.
I know. No, you're right. He's kind of, he kind of loses his head a few times, and then, but he's got the, here's the thing. He's got the best reactions of any player, maybe ever, that KU's had. He's like, everything he does is gif worthy after a call.
Like, and I think there was one yesterday on his fourth foul. I think he popped somebody in the face and he's like, he deserved it. I think that's what he said. He deserved it.
It's just, he's got these like facial expressions, and I think he's figured out, like, he gets in trouble if he starts like throwing a tantrum. So he learned that like early on, because he was like throwing tantrums all the time.
Because he did that.
Technical
yeah.
fouls. Now, though, whenever he gets something, he has like the some visceral, like, crazy reaction, but it's usually with like a smile on his face or like some kind of like hands up. What are you talking about? But I don't know. It's, I enjoy them very much. All right. Well, anyway, that's, I think that's all I got to say about that. Good game. Really important to get that after the loss against Iowa State. It would have definitely sucked if we would have had two losses in a row. And I can't remember what the stat is, but some crazy stat about Bill Self not losing two games in a row. It's like some, I don't know. Did well, you see this thing?
Yeah, it's not since that TCU debacle.
Debacle?
In Perry Ellis's freshman year, 2013.
Okay.
And not since that TCU loss. Probably lost, not lost two in a row.
Pretty impressive. Okay, Andrew, let's wrap up and go to this little interesting topic. Let's do the water cooler conversation.
Water cooler conversations. Water cooler conversation.
All right, Andrew. For the water cooler conversation this week, we're going to bring it down a notch. And let's talk about all of this nonsense that's going on off the court. Seemingly something new every day. It's getting ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I haven't really kept up with it. I know that there was like a star editorial that got people up raising arms, and then there was like pitting the newspapers against each other,
which was great. Which was great. That's
so the LJ World was going after the Star, and the Star was like, whatever.
And then Capital Journal was like, we're over here too, guys.
Well, it seemed like the Capital Journal would joined up with the LJ World, right, in this fight.
They did. It was two against one. It was two against one. All right, well, anyway, we're speculating here. We brought on an expert in this field. And by expert, I mean the one that I've seen tweet the most about it with facts, seemingly, and that is our pal Mike. And Mike, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean this personally. We've always sort of said it's Mike Lavieri, because we didn't know how to say your name. Can you tell me how to say your name?
Yeah, it's Lavieri.
Lavieri. Mike Lavieri. I apologize for that. So, yeah, we've always just kind of because there's lots of syllables and vowels in there. But how you doing, Mike? Thank you for coming on.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Right on. Okay, so give us – I've noticed on Twitter you've done some timeline things. Give us, like, a quick summation. What's happened here? Since 2015, right?
Yeah, so one of the big things is, first off, let's just get this out of the way. The girl in the Vic incident and the girl in the Bragg incident, they're two completely different girls. And I think part of the problem here that we're seeing is we have three entities, like you said, the Cap Journal, the LJ, and the Star. The Cap J is really not reporting anything. They're kind of saying, hey, until the police are going to cooperate with the media, then we'll get involved. The LJ is, you know, obviously based in Lawrence, and they're going to have their sources. And so they're going to be, I think, a little bit more concrete. And then you have the Star that I think is really going off of, you know, source or sources. So one of the big things is, you know, late 2015, Ladrell Vick is investigated for that alleged assault of a female student athlete, which the University of Daly Kansan was able to confirm. And the, you know, there's no police report for that, and or that we know of, but the university was able to do a investigation, and they said that it probably happened, and we're going to give a, you know, the penalty is 2 years probation is what we're recommending. And then separately from that, you know, we've got the Carlton Brick with Carlton Bragg with Sufi, that whole assault and how that gets turned around. That same night, apparently Vic and Josh Jackson are named at the scene, at the yacht club at 2 a.m. You know, and then we've got the whole rape incident at McCarthy Hall about a week later, and it's just a mess.
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. I guess it's good to know that was good to know there's two girls obviously involved, and we won't know anything about the potential or likely third allegedly at McCarthy Hall because she's underage, and we don't, the timeline there, I guess, is the other thing maybe I was going to ask you about. There was some talk about, there was a game that night, right? The Davidson game.
Yeah.
And so some were wondering about the timeline of what that was and maybe being able to say, well, unlikely to be a KU player.
Well, yeah. So great question. First off, KU tips off against Davidson at the Sprint Center at 6 p.m. And that game ends at 8 o'clock p.m. on the dot. Now just, you know, being around KU basketball and the way that, you know, media sessions work, you know, they'll bring in the opposing team players, coaches before they bring in self and the KU players. That night, it was pretty icy that weekend. So I don't think that they're going to do the same amount of speed on I-70 to get back to Lawrence. I think they're going to be a little bit more cautious. But there was a phone call that came in to police at 10 p.m. as reported by the Topeka Capital Journal. We don't know if that call in regards to a disruption at McCarthy Hall involves the 16-year-old in the rape case, but if in fact that girl is the same girl, I just don't see this rape case being a KU player just based on the fact that she's got to be at McCarthy Hall before KU even gets back from Kansas City.
Okay, interesting. Well, we're not going to speculate much on that one just because there's like no facts, right? We're not going to probably know much there until, or at least until we hear more from the police, I guess, because all we know is that there were five witnesses potentially, and not necessarily eyewitnesses. This just means witnesses. That could mean anything. That could mean they were down the hall from a person. That could mean anything, right? That's the five KU players that were mentioned as quote witnesses. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, that, you know, and we really don't know much about, you know, what, you know, they're witnessing, you know, we don't know what it all entails.
Right. Okay. So then let's talk quickly about the newspaper wars, because that was fun watching that unfold and some super hot takes going from newspaper to newspaper. And then, and certainly, you know, KU fans running to the defense of their players on Twitter, which is cool and not cool at the same time. It's kind of, you know, based on the allegations, it's always a little weird to be like, he didn't do that. He would never do that. I'm like, let's not maybe do that. But anyway, so tell us about these newspaper wars. What's going on there?
So January 30th, so about a week ago, we get the information that the 2015 event occurs. No police report, again, like I said. And right. So it's like, all right, this is a little odd. Why are we getting this now? And then 3 days later, we get the vandalization incident reported by the Star. I'm like, okay, I don't really see a newspaper based in Kansas City going back, you know, almost 2 months, you know, to dig up stuff. I just really don't see that happening. So somebody had to tip something. Right. It's a source. What we learn later is that, you know, after the Star has done their initial reporting, the LJ gets involved. Well, that same source is the dad. It's like, okay, my thinking here, and, you know, hear me out here, is I just don't see how two reporters, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm not discrediting their their job or their abilities or anything like that.
Do it. Discredit. Discredit them.
It's just the fact that you've got a K-12 / higher education reporter who went to Ohio University. I don't know how good her sources are at the university, which has also gutted a bunch of its staff after the Roer football player rape allegation. So we've got pretty much a whole new internal, staff at KU. Then the other reporter went to Southwest Missouri State. She's the crime reporter in Kansas City. I don't think her sources in Lawrence are going to be that strong. I don't know how much crime she's covering in Lawrence, Kansas. It just seems a little fishy to me. And I would think that the LJ is going to have one, with Sarah Shepard, she's really, really plugged in at KU. She literally is the higher education reporter for the LJ world. And then you've got their crime reporters that are always plugged in with the LJ or with the Lawrence Police Department. They're always checking logs. So I'm really wary of everything that has been reported by the Star at this point.
Interesting. So, yeah, we saw that the LJ came out and said things like, well, we heard from the same source, or we think the same source, and we didn't run with it because it was not something we were able to corroborate. And am I characterizing that correctly?
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. And the other thing is with the police report, they've got a set of criteria for determining whether something, is valid. The criteria is different for the police than it is for the university. And I think those two separate standards, I have a really tough time with that, because you have the university that's saying, well, yeah, it probably did happen, but then a police report that doesn't exist. And I'm going back to the late 2015 case here, mm-hmm. obviously.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I guess the last question is, Mike, why does the KC Star want to ruin the Kansas basketball team?
that's a great question. I don't, obviously it's not coming from Jesse Newell or Gary Abador. Right. They're kind of staying out of it. But I think one of the things that we need to look at is, obviously, we've got Shayon Zanger, and he talked with the LJ last Friday and said, hey, Bill Self, one, is, always cooperating and he runs a tight ship and he's complying with all the policies and everything like that. And, the other thing is, and these are his words, it's there are legal and ethical reasons that we can't discuss investigations. If you're a reader, that leaves you with one side of the story. That's all we have, one side of the story. We don't know what's going on with Vic. And I would assume that, KU Athletics and Bill are saying, hey, do not talk about it. Don't say anything. It's going to, work itself out, whatever way that happens.
I guess two more things, and Andrew, feel free to jump in at any time. The first thing is, I guess, and maybe I'm crazy here, but let's just throw it out there. Vic was not like an integral part of our team last year, to the point where he would get some sort of star treatment to throw something under the rug if he indeed did have an assault charge or even what they found to be preponderance of the evidence of an assault charge. I guess my thought is he would probably be either suspended or off the team if that was the case. I'm not saying it didn't happen, and it sounds like even the university thought it more than likely did, but it seems like there would be another part of the story. Otherwise, we would have had some suspension.
I mean, I think a guy that is getting playing time with the Human Victory Cigar, which is my nickname for Tyler Self, Bill's going to make a statement and would have kicked Vic off the team. And there was reports of him being sick last year, kind of around that time. I'm kind of thinking maybe it was a suspension just because of the investigation going on at the university, but that's just my speculation on that. But I don't see Bill trying to cover something up for a guy that played, less than 2 minutes a game.
And I guess the second point is, why, Mike, would a player that wants to potentially vandalize something pull our number one draft pick along with them? Why didn't you pull Mitch along with them. I mean, why didn't you take Tyler for that record, for that point? I mean, why do you got to pick Josh? Is that a fair question?
I think that's a fair question. I think another fair question is, you know, what are they doing at the yacht club as underage kids at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Hey, that's, I've been there.
You know, and why would they be the same?
The hawk exists for a reason.
Right, exactly. The hawk exists for a reason. The bull exists for a reason. Quentin's exists for a reason. But it's just like, and plus, why would you be at the same place as, you know, the person that you've had problems with in the past? I don't know. It's just.
So how do you think this plays fishy. Out? How do you think this plays out? Do we hear, is it the last we're going to hear of this stuff? Is it already been sort of worked out behind the scenes? Or do you think that there's maybe some sort of looming, you know, suspension coming that's going to derail our team, you know, for a Final Four run or something? Is there some shoe left to drop, Mike?
I think the biggest thing is information about this damage or supposed damage. You know, I haven't seen the police report. It's obviously out there for the damage, but the question remains is, you know, is this person telling the truth that Gerald did in fact do it? Or is it somebody else? You know, like we can only speculate on all this, and I don't want to say that LeGerald is innocent or guilty or whatnot, because I really don't know. But the big thing is we need more information about the damage before something happens.
I guess and we'll close with this. It just seems telling to me that Bill continues to play these guys. I mean, even the freaking drug paraphernalia deal, like, big deal. And he got 3 games. I mean, if this was like a legit, like, oh my God, a freaking felonious vandalism, you would think like they'd be maybe looking into this and having an indefinite suspension or something. But it's like the fact that they're still playing. I don't know. I guess I come back to this. Maybe I'm giving Bill and the team and everyone, the athletics department, way too much credit, but it just feels like it's going to go away. I don't know.
Well, Carlton is the Brandon Green of this year, and so his leash is obviously short. And, you know, when you get in trouble with the law for having drug paraphernalia, which obviously is illegal in the state of Kansas, you're going to get suspended. And so I know it's like, he had a bong or he had, you know, a pipe or whatever, like, big deal. You know, it's marijuana. But at the same time, you know, obviously he's in trouble with the law, and until he reached that, you know, diversion, you know, I think Bill was in the right to suspend him. And I think 3 games for, you know, kind of him being a knucklehead all season is pretty fair.
Yeah, well, he looked pretty good against K-State, so maybe it's what he needed. All right.
Yeah,
well, hey,
hopefully it wakes him up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, Mike, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for the insight. We certainly would not have been able to speak eloquently on these issues. We would have been funneling over our words. We'd have said all kinds of stuff about people breaking cars, and it would have been all wrong. So thank you for setting the record straight, and we'll watch it unfold, and hopefully the truth will set everybody free.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Mike. Thank you so much.
Rock chalk.
All right, thanks again to Mike for coming on. You could find him at Mike Levieri, right? Is it, how many?
It's like a bunch of I's and E's.
You'll find him. We'll put him in the Twitter when we promote the podcast. You'll find him. But thanks again to Mike.
Hey, Kevin, you see what I did there?
What'd you do?
I used my legal training to exercise my right to remain silent during that discussion.
That was probably smart.
Yeah. Except for my one comment. Like, if I don't know anything, I'm not gonna speak on it. Other than the Hawks there for a reason.
Yeah, that is a fact. Hey, I don't think I really said anything that's totally off base. I said I didn't know the answers. I was asking questions. Anyway, don't report me.
Okay, let's talk about basketball.
Yay,
I want to talk about basketball.
Big 12.
Come at me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
All right. Dollar signs. Quick recap of the games of this week. We'll just do the highlights. West Virginia won at Iowa State. A nice win. TCU beat K-State at K-State. Not a nice game for K-State, although they came back and won the next one. And then OSU beat West Virginia at West Virginia. K-State beat Baylor at Baylor. The rest of them weren't that interesting. How about that, Andrew? Crazy week.
How about that? That leads us to an interesting week in the Go-Go Power Rankers segment.
The power lies on their side.
Andrew, I got KU number one. You still good on that?
I'm still good. We lost to Iowa State. We lost to West Virginia. Those are two solid teams, but it's not enough to knock us down off our perch. It was possible if Baylor would have gotten a win against K-State, but alas, they did not.
But
so KU number one. Is it still the top three? We still going some order of KU, Baylor, West Virginia, or has Iowa State maybe snuck in there? I understand they're playing Texas right now, and it's very close.
It's tough, and I think I've still got to keep West Virginia third. And you're right that's going to be that's the question, because Iowa State has had obviously a pretty good week. They beat us at home, but I think just the fact that West Virginia has beat both Baylor and Kansas, now they've also dropped some games, but I still think I like West Virginia third there. Are you cool with that?
Good. I'm good with that. Texas is currently up on Iowa State 55-52, if that influences anything going forward, Kevin.
Interesting. That will, give us an update when that's done. Okay, so Iowa State, I have fourth. I think you agree with that. Then it gets interesting. This was tough. I actually shot something on Twitter to send me your Go-Go Power Rankings, and a lot of people had K-State next. That was they had K-State fifth and OSU sixth. In fact, I'd say most of them did. I still kept Oklahoma State fifth. I'm holding on to that. Even though K-State, they beat Baylor this week at Baylor, I still think, Oklahoma State's won five or six games in a row now?
Well, they won five in a row. Four of those are Big 12 games. They're 4-6. They did lose six Big 12 games in a row to start the season. Not great, Bob.
No, it wasn't. But I don't know. I tend to think that they're legit. I mean, every single bracket I've looked at, bracketology thing, they're in. I mean, they are strongly in. Whereas you look at some of these other teams down the list, they're not, or they're bubble teams. So you're right. They literally lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row. They were close games, a lot of them, but still, they've since come back, beat West Virginia this last week at West Virginia. They're number 21 in KenPom right now. So Brad Underwood's really got those guys going. And so I don't know. What do you think? Do you have K-State here? Or do you have Oklahoma State here?
I think it's pretty close, but I'll go, just because they're on a roll, I'll go Oklahoma State, then K-State.
Okay. Well, here's my reasoning. K-State's lost four of their last five games. But
pretty tough. It's pretty tough.
K-State's played some good teams in there. I mean, except for that Tennessee and TCU, I guess, were not very good. In fact, they play their next two is West Virginia and Iowa State. So K-State could literally have a stretch of, 6 out of 7 that they lose. So they probably need to find a way to win one of those to get strongly off the bubble, even though I still think they're in right now. But anyway, that's another story. TCU is my next team. I think that one's pretty obvious. Are you good with that?
Yeah, and I think Texas Tech's close, but they just haven't been getting wins. We'll see them this weekend. I think they're going to give us a game in Lubbock. I think I'll predict that we're going to win, but I think it'll be fairly close. And then the bottom, obviously, OU and Texas. Is that for you?
I've got Texas OU, but, same. I'm not going to fight on that. So, yeah, Texas OU, OU Texas, however you want to put it. I think right now I have Texas OU. If Texas somehow comes through and beats Iowa State tonight, then that will be another story. They should probably be up there for sure. Andrew, let's talk about the games this week. Tuesday, tonight, as we talked about, Iowa State at Texas, Tech at TCU. That's also a close one right now. Wednesday, this is the interesting one. I'm really excited for this Baylor at Oklahoma State game. And then we've got West Virginia at OU. Saturday.
Don't forget. Hey, don't forget. OU beat West Virginia in West Virginia.
That's true.
Maybe they've got the Mountaineers number.
That's true.
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I really. I doubt
it. I doubt it so hard. All right, Saturday, KU at Tech, K-State at West Virginia, TCU at Baylor, Texas at OSU, and OU at Iowa State. Andrew, I think our game's the most interesting one, KU at Tech. Maybe that K-State at West Virginia would be interesting as well. So a good slate Saturday, but really interested in these games Wednesday. Are there any of them, anything that jump out to you there that feel good about? What's your prediction, I guess, on Baylor, Oklahoma State?
Going to Stillwater, I think that Stillwater, Gallagher-Iba will be kind of crazy. They can get crazy when they want to, and that's like whenever they're good, once every 5 years. But I think that they'll be pretty juiced for that game. I'm going to predict Juwan Evans and the Cowboys in that game.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Okay, Andrew, a little quick segment here because we don't do this enough, but we asked for some listener questions today on the podcast, and I wanted to touch on a few of them, if you don't mind. I got one here from Will Wyrock. Actually went to high school with Will. Shout out to Will. Does Mason need a title to be ranked ahead of Sharon among KU point guards?
Yeah.
Really?
I think he does. I think he does.
Really? What about a Final Four?
That puts him in like... Are we talking about
Final Four?
Are we talking about point guards or point guards in the Bill Self era?
Well, either way, they're both in the Bill Self era.
I know, so. But then I think he puts himself in like Kirk Heinrich territory.
Which one's better? Would you have Kirk or Sharon better?
I think I have Sharon better. He's got a title.
Okay, I agree. Okay, so you're saying that
he needs a title. He needs a title.
Okay.
Needs a title.
All right. Now, here's the deal, though. When Sharon was a senior and Sharon was leading the team, they didn't get no title.
No. They were.
They got beat.
Right. That 2010 team was incredible.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So
we got Ali Farouk Manesh, but he's got a title. And you know what? Let's not forget, Sharon was very important to that. That 2008 comeback, that 2008 team. He wasn't the guy, but not really anyone was the guy.
Right.
But I think he needs a title. I think he needs a title.
Okay. I'm comfortable. You know what? I think I'm with you. I think you're right. I think you're right. Sharon is too high a pedestal for me. You're right. I think he needs a title. All right. Keith Yackel asks, how many more conference losses do you think we're going to have?
Zero.
A big old zero?
Dub zero.
I think we have one to two more, and I think we'll still be fine if we do. How about this one, Andrew? Let's see here. Sorry, I'm skipping that one. Was I too aggressive when I booked my flights to Phoenix right after we got beat in West Virginia by 16?
Whoa. So he kind of went opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He reacted strongly the other way.
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. That's from Bill Self is God, also known as at Curtis Eaton.
Okay. Well, just get yourself a nice little hotel room. Mm-hmm. I would recommend the Talking Stick Casino and Resort.
It's a lovely place.
Scottsdale, Arizona.
It is a nice little place. It's a golf course right
yourself,
there.
Get yourself a nice little spot right there.
I don't know. Perfect in March too, or in April.
Close drive to Tempe. I think it'll be great.
That's a great, great idea. Okay. So our friend of the podcast, Garrett Neese, asks, will you name your kid Frank Mason if he wins National Player of the Year?
So that's kind of a joke or whatever, but like, let's just talk about this.
Okay.
Mason Meckley is a good name.
That kind of is, actually.
It's got that alliteration.
Low key, I'm going to add that to the list. We've got a list going, right? I'm going to add that to the list. Just throw it in there and not say anything. Like, it's not going to be anything like, no, it's not. It's just, I just thought it was a nice name. So I also like, so here's the other one. I like Miles, and that's after Aaron Miles. Also alliteration. And I was telling our pal Brian Haney about this, you know, voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. And he's like, oh, I love that. Let me text Aaron and I'll tell him about it. So we texted him with like a picture, like me doing like a thumbs up. It was really awkward, but Aaron like responded back. He's like, that's awesome. So now I'm sort of leaning toward that, But if Mason wins the National Player of the Year, it's back on. We've always talked about Tyshawn. I want to name Tyshawn, my wife won't let me.
I tried to
name my dog Tyshawn. I tried to name everything Tyshawn.
Not gonna happen.
No.
I also want to know what's going on in Aaron Miles' head if he's just sitting at home one night, enjoying a nice glass of wine, maybe watching Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know, whatever he's doing, and he gets on his phone and he sees a text message of some doofy white guy.
Yeah,
giving thumbs up. Like, who is this guy?
Listen, he played it up. He was very sincere. I have a screenshot of it. He was very sincere. It just goes to show you, just a stand-up guy, Miles is. I mean, that's why it's such a great name. All right, Andrew, this is from Non-Fat Matt. What is K-State's PHC percentage on KenPom? How is that formula determined? Are you familiar with the PHC percentage?
No.
it's the play hard chart.
Oh, the play. You know what? K-State played so hard. I think my favorite little K-State meme was they erased the NIT banner and they put times K-State played hard against KU and said 2017.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Well, congratulations, Bruce Weber. You think your team played hard. Great.
So here's some more about Frank Mason. So it was Garrett Neese that also asked us that question to lead the podcast. Hilton Rupp, Bramlage, and you lose a home game, would you have taken it? We said yes.
I just want to say, I want to close it out on this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not very excited and 10 being Fast and the Furious 8 excited. how excited are you for the sequel to Frank Mason by Redhead?
Okay.
Frank Mason 2.
We need to stop everything and talk about this. And first of all, I mean, that's a thing, right?
He said there's another one coming.
Oh my God. Okay. So just so you guys know, I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll play this underneath. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason is the song, and Redhead, the rapper, has apparently said to several people who've tweeted to him that a version 2 is coming. He put this out there, Andrew, when Frank Mason was not even playing basketball much. He was averaging 3 minutes, and now Frank Mason is Frank Mason. Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. So what's the next version gonna say?
I mean, it was already pretty aggressive and pretty hard on that first one. what can you possibly do to make that even comparable to what Frank Mason is now? I'm just excited to see. I mean, I have no idea.
The answer is 10, by the way. The answer is 10. I give it 10. 10 fingers.
I give it a 10.
So yes, 10 is the answer, and I can't wait. And maybe, I'm going to reach out to Redhead and see if he would somehow float us an advanced copy. Just see if somehow.
Do you think we can have a world premiere of the Redhead song on the podcast? He had a great relationship with us last time during the whole deal. He was very willing to give us whatever we wanted.
That's true.
lyrics and different copies. And he was about it.
He was sending us in every format we wanted. we had the vinyl of Frank Mason, Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. We had everything. No, you're right. Very accommodating. So maybe, just maybe. And I retweet him about once a day. So I think that maybe, I think we're due. I think it's possible. Okay. Andrew, I think I was going to ask another question, but let's just close with that because I can't find the other ones right now. So the answer is definitely 10. More to come on that. Andrew, let's preview this week. We're going to go to Lubbock, down to Texas Tech. They're down to 42 in KenPom. They probably need a few more wins and probably even a couple marquee wins to get back on the bubble. Certainly a win against KU would do that. So this is not a comfortable game. We seem to struggle in Lubbock when we go down there. They've got Keenan Evans. They got Zach Smith on the interior playing really well. Kind of an up and down season. They do have wins against West Virginia and a decent win against K-State. But, Andrew, they've lost to Texas and OU as well. But here's the kicker. Only one home loss, and that that was that curb stomping at the hands of Oklahoma State. But still, one home loss. How do you feel about this game?
I feel pretty good. I think Texas Tech's pretty good. The record may not show it, but you know they're a tournament team, maybe in a different year, and probably still a good shot to make the tournament this year. They didn't really show what they could be in Allen Fieldhouse. I think we're going to see a pretty good showing from them. I bet it'll come down to the wire. You know, what do you think that line's going to be? KU by a handful, but not much.
Yeah, probably, what, 5, 6? Let's look and see what KenPom's got it at. Do you have it pulled up? I did earlier. I bet it's like 5 or 6.
KenPom has it as a 3-point win.
Okay. For KU.
For KU.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stick with 5 or 6. So if the line's 3, I'd probably like KU a little bit. But yeah, I think there's a very good chance that this could be a like last or late possession, you know, 1 possession or 2 possession game late. Don't you?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yep.
Which I think so, but let's give a little, before we head out, a little update on schedule getting. We've got that West Virginia loss, win at Kentucky, win Baylor home, loss to Iowa State, win at K-State. 3 more games left in the schedule getting. But I think you got to add on Oklahoma State to that near the end of the season. This does not get any easier. But in this 8-game stretch, we go to Tech, and we've got West Virginia at home next week and go at Baylor. Those 3 games, what's going to be our record?
I think we go 2-1 there. I'm not sure if we lose the Baylor or West Virginia game. I think you're right. I think we can beat Tech, but Andrew, we said before this, if we go 4-4, we'd feel relatively good about that. 5-3, we'd be pretty happy. And that would end up at 5-3 if we go 2-1. And that is 3 losses in the Big 12. You know, obviously, we figured in that Kentucky one is possible loss. So, but still, 5-3, I think you got to feel really, really good about, given the schedule. And then if you can find a way to beat Oklahoma State that last game, I think you can pretty much chalk up number 13. So what about you? 2-1, 3-0. You still feeling?
I'm gonna go 3-0.
All right, I like it.
Hey, Andrew, before we go, I want to talk about KU football for like a minute. We got a bunch of recruits in.
Neat deal.
They're all from Louisiana for some reason. Hashtag neat deal. Most of the good ones, the really really good ones, are coming in 2018 for the 2018 class. Just in case you didn't know, I'm sure you've heard. I think we're ranked currently 6th overall. As the recruiting class.
So funny.
How crazy is that? When people from LSU are accusing you of recruiting violations, you're doing something right.
It's so great. It's so great.
I don't know anything about it. We're going to have to learn about this and report back to you all. I just know the very basics that we're getting great guys from Louisiana. Also for next year, got a good running back coming in from Mississippi Community College, and Bender, the quarterback, also coming in. So it'll either be Carter Stanley or Bender as a quarterback. Things are looking up.
Things are looking up.
KU football. We got to win a game, but things are looking up.
So you're right. 6 out of the 7 guys for that 2018 class are from Louisiana, and that's a tie to the high school coach they hired there. Was it Tony Hole, I think is his name?
That's right.
But that was a good hire so far. A pretty good hire.
That worked out well.
I just hope... Andrew, we talked about this. We have a big group chat that we talk about KU stuff on most every day. And I was a little concerned that there's a chance these verbals might not end up holding all the way strong.
Don't do that. Enjoy it.
I know.
Let us enjoy this for now.
Listen, I hope so hard that these guys stick around. We've got 3 4-star guys, Andrew. One of them is the freaking top 6 wide receiver in the country is going to KU. I mean, that's crazy. The one nice thing I feel good about is that they're all coming together. So like there's momentum there. They're like, I got your back. We're all going to go there together and do this. Andrew, it's the dream team part 2, except this time, hopefully they actually play football. Instead of what happened
the Dream
under
Team
Charlie
1
Weiss.
Worked out so well.
Oh my god. Remember the it was all
there
the
was a logo?
Guys.
There was oh so bad.
It was brutal. So, and honestly, that Dream Team nonsense is what killed us the last 2 years, and scholarship numbers were just now starting to sort of chip away at some of that. And Coach Beatty even talked about that in his press conference, talking about the 2017 class, which was also a pretty good one, Andrew. I think it's like 55th or something in Rivals, which is about, you know, about where we've been. But so far, man, maybe we get a top 10 class in here. Never know. Never know.
Love it. Well, a lot of basketball left. We'll be looking forward to football next fall. But until then, let's have some success on the basketball court and in the schedule, getting on a hot streak.
I like that. 2-1, hopefully, to close out here. Well, Andrew, tell the folks at home how they can find us on the Twitter bug.
Well, I'm at what am I? Sherlock Hoops. There it is. Sherlock's Hoops. And you're at Jayhawk Talk. For the folks at home, is still tied at 65-65. So go on to your www.esbn.com/whowontheiowastatetexasgame.html, and you will find out the winner of that.
We'll be waiting in suspense. All right. Well, let's get out of here. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to Mike Levieri for coming on. I'm never not going to call him that. I'm sorry, Mike. Much appreciated. Thanks for that insight. And Andrew, 2-1. Let's close out strong. Let's get to 13. 3-0. I'll take 3-0 though. 3-0 would be great. And anyway, let's get out of here. We appreciate you very much for listening. Until next time, Rock Jock.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
It's for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans.